Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, hey, Roxanne, how are you?
Good. Happy Easter weekend.
No.
We've got so many events, so check out our Facebook pages for all the Easter egg hunts and other things going on this
weekend. And it seems Easter came late this year,
It does. Right? I know we've had sometimes Easter in March or early April, but yes.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely happy Easter all those that celebrate it.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us on this Easter weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, Roxanne? It is hard to believe that it's been a year already since we had this gentleman in to talk to us about the very same event.
Yes.
Can you believe it's been a year?
I can't. It's just going by so fast. But we did have Justify with a crew a couple weeks ago about the
Put the guns down
documentary. It was great.
Yes. Well, you know, he's a busy man, multifaceted in the work that he does. But in studio with us is Justified, and he's known throughout the High Desert for his leadership work with Fathers in Hip Hop and Group Economics. I think Money Mondays, do I have that right? Money Mondays.
Yes, ma'am.
Has been a big hit here in the High Desert. And today he's here to share with us about his signature event, the Queendom Awards. So we want to welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne Justified.
Welcome back, Justified.
I feel like I'm at home.
Well, we're happy. We're happy about that. And so for the few who may not be familiar with your work, tell us briefly about your background and how you started this Queendom Awards.
Okay. For those that don't know, Justify Smith. Background in the hip-hop music, being an artist that has been out here in the High Desert 21 years, creating event space for independent artists and really pushing that independent line. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as God grows you and you move forward and into your purpose, got really heavily involved with community events. It was a better feeling doing things that promoted community and unity. And so I just been on that. And then the Queendom really is my way of paying homage to the women in our community that not only serve their home as mothers, but they come into this community and impact, you know, the community with their positive works. And most importantly, me losing my wife and my mother, you know, 11 months apart back in 2013, 2014, I lost my queens. And I'm raising two young daughters in the absence of those queens. And the women in this community that I've been blessed to be associated with have filled in that gap and given, you know, me advice to bring to my daughters that only a woman could probably give, and to be that inspiration that my daughters get to see up close and personal at times, what queens look like and how they move and what they do. And so they serve as role models to my young daughters that I'm raising to be queens. And it gives them something to positive to look at versus what, you know, media likes to portray our women as, especially women of color. We don't see a whole lot of highlighted excellence. So I'm glad that my community has these women that my daughters can look to.
In real life, in real time. So if I'm correct, this is your third year.
The third annual.
So this became a passion project. This was definitely, you know, it sounds to me from what you've shared, driven from the heart, and you're passionate about it. And so now we're into year three.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, and it's expanding and growing. And so how many honorees are there this year, and can you tell us who some of them are or who they are?
This year we have five, you know, amazing women that I've selected. And at this point in all, you know, 3 years, the women have been selected by me because I'm watching, I'm seeing, I'm encouraged, I'm inspired. And at this point, it's been me. It's okay. No voting. It's no, you know, sometimes I take suggestions and then I pay attention. But ultimately, these women have been selected, you know, by me. And this year we got Dr. Alika Jackson Jarrell, Connie Williams,
yes,
Iris Yvette Munez Gutierrez, Tasha yes. Champion, and then one that I wanted to get in last year and our schedules and relationship didn't allow, and that's Dr. Kenesha Williams.
Oh.
I
She's
wanted her
a
last
friend of
year.
The show.
Yeah, she yes. is. But what a great list of women.
Yeah, what a
yes.
great list of women, and all of them, which I'm happy to say I know and have had the opportunity to work with, and absolutely well deserved.
Yes,
For each and every one. So I'm glad you said how these women were selected. Mm-hmm. And quite often when you have an organization, you know, sometimes you're challenged about that, mm-hmm. right? But the work that you do to make this happen, you do all of that, right? So you solicit the sponsors and put together the program and, you know, and how it's going to run and,
right.
and all of that. And so I think sometimes people forget that if you're going to do the heavy lift,
you got the heavy say.
You should be able to make some decisions, right?
Right, right.
So it's great, and I think it's a great honor that you speak of these women not just because of popularity but because of the work that you've actually seen and
right.
experiences that you've actually been witness to of what they're doing and what they're about.
And impacted by.
Absolutely. So how can, if somebody is interested in attending, supporting, you know, reaching out to you, how can they do that?
Well, we now have our website up that we just launched earlier this year, which is groupeconomicsllc.com. All our information is there. Instagram is a great place to find me, justified_Smith. And then, of course, Facebook, Just Smith. And really, pop-up at any community event, I'm probably going to be there.
That's very true. And so you do this on a Mother's Day weekend. So if people have not made plans already what they're going to do for their moms or grandmas or, you know, their Medeas, mm-hmm. You know, or godmoms or whatever, this would be a perfect opportunity for them to bring their moms.
I really think so, because while we're, you know, highlighting these specific women, the whole experience is catered to women, period.
Yes.
We want, you know, the women to come in and feel the appreciation, to feel the love, and to just feel that big hug, you know, from the community. And, you know, I reach out to men because Fathers in Hip Hop is something that I'm big in. And it's like, hey, let's show our ladies this experience. So
some love.
We do a segment in the event that we've done every year called When a King Loves His Queen. And I give men the opportunity to come to the stage and declare their love, you know, for their queen. And it's, everything I do has a purpose and a mm-hmm. message, and I think we need to see more men sharing their love and gratitude towards the women, because, like I say, this was come from a place of experience for me that I wish I could wish my mother Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
I wish I could tell my wife Happy Mother's Day. So I don't want men to not understand how valuable these women are until they're gone.
Miss like, the moment.
Yeah. Get them now. You yeah. still have them here. And it shouldn't just be a one day a year thing, but specifically these days that are catered to them, that we should go out of our way to let them know how much, you know, they mean to us. And whether
so
it's your mother,
me,
auntie, daughter, grandma, just the women that
yes.
hold it down. Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're at a new venue this year.
Yeah.
So tell us the date, the time, the location.
It's going to be May 10th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Victorville Fairgrounds. They're known as the San Bernardino County Fairgrounds.
Right.
I'm in Victorville. And big shout out to my guy Billy with Victorville Motors, because it's because of him that we're in that venue. He sponsored a special queen last year, Miss Regina. And, you know,
thank you,
revisited
you.
Him this year, and he stepped up the level of sponsorship and provided the building for us, because we were kind of squeezed in tight at the Holiday Inn last year. So.
Yes.
We wanted to get more room, and,
yeah.
you know, I was leading up to this, I was kind of thinking about scaling back, because last year was such a challenge to, like, really pull that off. And like you mentioned, I have people around, but ultimately the heavy load is me, you know, mm-hmm. making it. So right. I kind of was I won't say scared, because once you've done something, you know you can do it. But I was like, I may scale back and take it back to Cosmos, because that's where we did it the first year.
Right.
And then, you know, God just whispered, like, we're not going backwards. You're going forward.
Evolving.
And so when Billy jumped in with the building, it was like, okay, Lord, I see what you want me to do. And we're moving that way.
And moving that way. And you know, I agree with you. Victorville Motors has been an amazing community partner. You know, that business has existed for over 50 years, and they have been giving back to the community in a variety of ways. So I'm not surprised that they were the ones to step up and say, as you expand and evolve, we'll expand and evolve with you.
And if I can say one thing about Billy, when I first met him, I went in hopes of communicating, you know, business. And we talked business, but it was kingdom business.
Yes.
He really just pulled me in his office and broke out some scripture and just really talked to the spirit man in me, right?
Yes.
And we didn't talk anything about business or sponsor or anything. And I'll never forget, as he walked me out, he said, I don't think you know it yet, but you've just met your new best friend.
Oh.
And I was like, bet. So that made me comfortable to be able to call him. And, you know, he might not get it the day I call, but he always calls back and he always keeps his word. So just, you know, a big shout out, you know, to Billy for all that he does.
Yes. So is there anything else that you want us to know? One more time, how, if somebody is interested in supporting as a sponsor, getting a table, buying some tickets, you know, donating.
Yes, yes.
If they want to donate some gifts or, you know, whatever. How can they do that?
All those options are on our Eventbrite. So if you do go to Eventbrite, you could just search the Queendom Awards, and we should pop up. Or you can link directly to that from our website again, which is groupeconomicsllc.com. And another thing that I added this year, because as you say, we're growing, right? I not only wanted to recognize these individual women, but I wanted to pay recognition to the groups of women that are doing things here. So if I can, I'm going to be honoring.
Are there groups that
are
being recognized?
Yes, the Hatcher family is a group of sisters who have partnered with me the last 3 years on our Blessed in the Mess Christmas toy giveaway.
Wonderful.
They come in, and I mean, they pull up with U-Hauls, and they just really add great value to what I'm doing by partnering with me. So I had to bring, you know, them out to appreciate them and recognize them for what they do.
Thank you, Hatcher family.
The Victorville Women's Club will be recognized this year.
I love them.
The Today's Woman Foundation will be recognized.
We love them.
Delta Sigma Theta, they'll be recognized, the High Desert Chapter.
They come visit us,
they
right?
Do. Hey, I was just about to say, there's so many guests that you're talking about who have been part of this show.
But that shows you, your show is geared around community. So the fact that those women have been to your show speaks to the fact that they're in the community and they're doing things.
And they're doing amazing work.
The National Council of Negro Women, we're going to bring them out.
Absolutely.
The AKA sorority will be in the building.
All right.
And
they're a dynamic group, or super, a newly chartered group.
Right, yes. Right. And the High Desert Community Coalition, Linda Titus, we're connected.
Linda's another one.
I actually met Linda here. I was scheduled on the show same day as her, and she was in before me.
She's an amazing woman.
She is.
Yes.
But this is my way of not only recognizing these groups, but promoting and advertising these groups, because as popular as the Deltas are, as popular as the AKAs are, as I'm moving, talking about what's going on, people are like, we got Deltas in the High Desert? I didn't know. You know, so I want to, like I said, recognize, thank them, but I also want to let HD know this is where they're at, that these are the women groups that are here in the High Desert available to you. And to recognize them and collaborate with them, because they're here. And, you know, our people suffer for a lack of knowledge. So I'm trying to bring that knowledge.
Well, that's why we're here, is to help get the word out. So thank you for being here with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon. I know you got something else coming up.
Amen. And if I can, let me just give a shout out to Cosmos, because they are catering the food, and it's going to be amazing. And, man, we got the whole city coming out. It's going to be a great event. And I appreciate the time on your platform.
Once again, hello. Good morning, Regina.
And it's another beautiful high desert spring.
We're happy to join you on this weekend.
Weekend. I am excited. You know I love, this is my favorite time of year, spring and summer. And I'm happy.
Yes, and we have a favorite guest right here. I think it's his first time on our program.
It is.
Why is that?
And you know, I'm taking great pleasure in making this introduction because we have in studio Robert Lovingood, who is the CEO of ICR Staffing, and he is also the former San Bernardino County First District Supervisor.
And he's also your former boss.
Along with being a long-term resident of the High Desert. And I can't tell you, Roxanne, how delighted I am to say this, because it always used to get up under his skin, but what a delight for me to welcome my former boss to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. I am so glad that you are joining us today. Finally, yes, thank you for saying
thank you,
yes.
Robert. It's great to see you.
So welcome.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on the show. And as I like to always say, we work together.
Yes.
And I also took equal direction from your input as well. It was a two-way street. But we did.
I thought we had an understanding. We weren't going to talk about that. Okay. But that's okay. Oh, wow.
But it was a great relationship, and
you
accomplished great things. And
we
I think collectively we
accomplished great things. And I am indebted to your leadership because I do think that the imprint of a lot of things that were done under your leadership are still very present. And I won't go down that road, but they're still very present. So let me ask you, I think a lot of people who know you in community would ask this question. Since you left office, what have you been doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's the day that I left, I went to work.
Okay.
and when I say, I mean, I left that opportunity of public service, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but then returned to our business.
Mm-hmm.
And our business is in staffing. In particular, we've really migrated into heavier industries.
Okay.
And in that, we are becoming a part of a pathway for young adults. And when I say this, for individuals that come in, it starts with physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing is the individuals that will come and make that commitment and really take on, I'm going to say, really the dirty, hard jobs,
mm-hmm.
often the case. But that the employers in our relationships look for those individuals to see who wants to be promoted. And we have great success stories. We have individuals who started out of high school are now in $100,000 positions because once they secured their opportunity, they've taken the investment and time and willingness to further their education. And then move in to advancement within the companies. And what's great about what we focus on at the present time, and I'm going to really say for the next 3 to 4 decades,
mm-hmm.
jobs that cannot be automated. So when we get into the skilled trades, this is a pathway, again, for someone not prepared for college, maybe not ready to take that step, but that has the willingness to get dirty.
Yes.
Okay, and make that investment. We work mainly under basically federal standards
mm-hmm.
today, and in California, that means you're still required to be able to pass a cannabis test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to take a drug test.
Right.
Unfortunately, in California, it's been a tougher thing for young people to get past. Mm-hmm. But again, those in my mind that want that opportunity, they're able to think about it and then pass the test and move forward.
And do the things necessary
yes.
to put themselves in a position to actually have a career,
yes,
right, that
yes.
affords them a better way
yes.
of living, right? So with that, Robert, which really leads me into having discussion with you around this, is, you know, it appears that we're experiencing some very uncertain times right now in our society, and particularly here in the High Desert, right? And at the top of that list of uncertainty and concern and people seeking direction and trying to understand, especially our young people, where they should be kind of positioning themselves. At the top of that list is, of course, education, but jobs, employment, and economic development. So can you share with us or tell us from your perspective, what is the climate for the high desert where we are now with jobs? And not just for now, but also for the future. What does that look like? And especially, how can young people be prepared to make a livable wage?
Well, I think it's great. And I think if we really look what, the economist and the breakdown, healthcare is a growing sector. So pathways in healthcare and are always going to be there. Hospitality at this point is also growing. But at the end, I think the most frustrating, if you're not, say, directly a nurse, mm-hmm. or if you're not in an area of healthcare that takes an advanced degree, it's understanding you're going to start at 30 to 40,000. Not 60 to 80,000.
Right.
And to get to that next step, you're going to have to make that investment time and work, which means you're going to have to be willing when your boss says needs help on a Saturday. They're looking for the volunteers. They're not looking for the person that says, I got to leave early on Friday because of X. But within healthcare and then also hospitality, but those of us, as myself, have been in hospitality, 60-hour week's the normal. Okay, and you're there, and it's called, morning to that, weekends, holidays.
Right.
A lot of people struggle with that.
Right, that's kind of what we refer to as paying dues.
Yes.
Right?
But see,
a lot of the
young people, some people, they just want to expect, I'm going to make $80,000 a year right when they get out of school, out of college. But that's not how it works.
Right.
Especially now. Right,
no,
Robert?
And I think in the non-technical areas, Roxanne, I agree with you. And I think there's a disservice done by the institutions to where they're letting young people know high expectations that are not going to be met. And we've interacted successfully, by the way, with a number of graduates from the UC systems and the Cal State systems that come in with exceptionally high expectations. They've not been successful, and we've had some join our company. And then, I got to tell you, it's about an 18-month pathway. Then they move forward. Mm-hmm. But again, so... I say it's and it's kind of interesting. Those that have had success, we actually have known them since they were children.
Okay.
And so several of them. So we've been able to redirect. No, being at work is X. You work till when? And I think there's a lot of young adults that are now looking for opportunities that are going to have to be outside of, and this is not the general education, because there's a big impact coming with AI.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of the listeners are already looking and reviewing, but we have to look at least in my mind, what are the pathways, and there's seven that are in the trades.
Okay.
That are going to lead to the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 opportunities, and really not under a threat in the next 3 to 4 decades of being automated.
So can you share with us, you say there's seven.
Yeah.
Can you share with us what those are?
So if we think of carpentry and framing, there's within under that, there are several.
Mm-hmm.
There's the commercial framing that can lead actually into steel extraction, concrete buildings as well. But within that, you have finished carpenters, you have cabinetry, you have disciplines with under that. So there's several there.
Mm-hmm.
Plumbing. Mm-hmm. Plumbing, we think about it. And I always love to say, call a plumber on a Friday night because you have a problem.
That's right. And
these are industries, like you say, within healthcare. We're always going to need that medical expertise. We're always going to need help, plumbing and building. So I can see somebody want to work with their hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the electrical side, electricians. Then you get into the gas pipeline. That's a whole complete different area of work. And then you get into within those trades, then you have concrete work, you have finishing, you have roofing, you have the disciplines in that. If you get into the mining opportunities, then you get in mining industry, it all starts with a strong back. Okay? But they all lead into additional opportunities.
Right.
Companies have found, and I go back to California Steel years ago, they would call grow their own. When they would take a person without experience but had the work ethic, they would bring them in, and their promotions were based on their willingness.
Mm-hmm.
So if they engaged in education afterwards, it was phenomenal to watch. Because, again, six-figure jobs, long-term health care, retirement plans, everything in America that we want. Okay, so we have that within industry. And by the way, you started with what's the desert going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to continue to succeed and grow.
Really?
Yes.
Now, qualify that statement for me.
Based on, we have Burlington and you have Brightline.
Okay.
Okay, so Burlington is going to, in my opinion, have the largest economic impact 4,500 direct jobs. 85% of those jobs paying over $100,000. If we look at their footprint, they're building out 6+ million square feet of distribution. They're creating a pathway for the trucks and industry to feed and rapidly pick up and then be dispersed. The upside to that is it's going to offer relief to the Southern California freeways. They're going to use a large rail component. It's Burlington. So for every one of their jobs, you can multiply by 7.
So, Robert, you mentioned Burlington, and for our listeners, are we talking about the inland
connected to
port
that's going into Barstow?
Yeah, Hinckley, right? Barstow area.
Yes. Okay, and so we're talking about, you're saying that there's going to be about 4,500 jobs?
Direct.
Okay.
Now, you take a multiple, and I'm going to be conservative. There's a lot of people that do this for a living, far better educated than myself. But I think it's safe to say if you take a multiple of 7,
mm-hmm.
that's 28,000 jobs directly that will be ongoing to their project.
Okay. And then you're also talking about the Brightline project, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what can be expected from that in terms of the number of jobs, opportunities that will be generated?
When all told, in the build-out, you'll have about 12,000. During construction, all phases of construction, then you'll have the service sector jobs that will be provided at the Apple Valley location. And there you'll have maintenance, timers, schedulers, customer service. It'll grow into hospitality. And then you'll have that pathway created, as we all know, of their success in Florida. It's going to be duplicated here. And, you know, the end result is you'll get off a plane in Ontario, go to the Metrolink.
Right.
You can either go into Los Angeles by Metrolink or get on the train and go to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And I got to share with you, and I think we've all been here for a long time, okay? And when we can look and say an hour and a half, okay? And by the way, when you check your bag, you don't see it again until you get to your hotel room.
Wow.
Yeah. They're amazing.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. Can't wait to see. I know that
people are like, when is it going to happen?
Yeah, when is it going to happen?
I can share with you now. There's subcontractors within that space that are looking at property today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're parts of the manufacturing teams. So it's evolving.
Okay. And so with that, now we're talking about specifically focused on the high desert. We hear a lot about economic development here, and a lot of it is attached to warehousing.
Yes.
Right? So is warehousing really our future? How does that provide the growth and sustainability to keep our young folks here?
It's going to shrink. And so I'll give you an example. And I go back, and I'm not speaking, but Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon,
mm-hmm.
6 or 7 years ago, he said to his entire workforce, if you want to learn how to code, we'll teach you. But if you don't learn how to code, at some point you're not going to be with us. So here's the difference in the footprint. And we realize we work with logistics. Once a center automates, which is the path forward,
right?
And unfortunately there's a lot of reasons as to why they're moving that direction. The cost of investment is going down. But I'll give you an idea. We worked with a company that had 800 people that were running their logistics on one end of the building, and on the other side, equal side building, they had 40 people. There's the difference.
Okay,
so 760 jobs less doing the same thing. So mm-hmm. long term, it'll be those that know maintenance and how to code.
Okay.
It's going to shrink over time, but when you look at the impact of Brightline, you look at the impact of Burlington, these are jobs that won't be automated often. And again, those are the career pathways. We always overlook mining operations.
Okay.
The first district, San Bernardino County, parts of Los Angeles are rich in natural resources. These are lifetime opportunities.
Well, we have enjoyed this conversation. It has been a joy to have you share with us today and to get to spend some time with my former boss.
That's cruel.
So I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for all of this knowledge and wisdom that you've shared with us. And we're definitely going to have you back for part 2 because there's a lot more mm-hmm. we need to talk about. But really appreciate you, always have, and will continue to do so.
Perfect. You ladies have a great day, and I'm always a text away. All right. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. We'll talk to you next weekend.